You are listening to Morning Edition. I'm Brad Aspey. Every Friday, we look into the night sky with Mary Stewart Adams, Program Director of the Headlands International Dark Sky Park in Mackinac City. Welcome once again, Mary.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
We're hearing a lot about the Perseid meteor shower this week. What can we expect?
The Perseids are our most well-known meteor shower, and though the parent comet of this shower wasn't discovered until 1862, the shower has been known about since at least the 5th century BC. The Perseid meteors are fast and bright, and many leave persistent trains, so that makes it pretty exciting. And this year it's predicted there will be as many as 70 meteors an hour, so that's really a fun show because that's almost more than one a minute. And viewers can expect really a lovely evening both before the shower starts, during it, and after the peak, because we've got in the evening sky the planet Venus, our brilliant evening star, gracing the western horizon at sunset. Now, starting on August 11th, which is Sunday evening, that will be we'll see Venus, and then we'll have the crescent moon, and then the blue-white star Spica, and then the planet Saturn. But then all of those objects will set before the meteor shower actually starts. And then on Monday evening, if you're looking west, you'll again see those same four celestial objects, but now the moon will have changed places. So rather than the sequence going Venus, moon, Spica, Saturn, on Monday night it will be Venus, Spica, moon, and Saturn. So it's just kind of fun to really watch the moon because you can see it moving so well. The peak of the shower actually occurs between 2 and 3 a.m. on Monday morning, the 12th, so between Sunday night and Monday morning.
Okay. Now, thanks to you, we know that meteor showers are caused by the Earth traveling through the trail of stuff left by a comet as it passes through our planetary system, and that the parent comet to the Perseids, Comet Swift-Tuttle, travels through every 133 years.
Yeah.
Now, was this known to the ancient stargazers as they came up with stories and myths?
It's an interesting question and one that's hard to answer from our perspective on things in the 21st century because the origination story of Perseus points to long-held cultural beliefs about birth processes and to the idea that each human being comes from a particular star. Typically, we only hear about the single star that appeared over the birth of the Christ child 2,000 years ago. But this story of the birth of the Christ child, taken in context with pervasive beliefs at that time, such as the story regarding Perseus and his birth from a shower of golden stars, this suggests that it wasn't such a wild idea that to believe that birth was the completion of a process of actually coming from the stars. And more specifically, with the hero Perseus, the mythology is that his mother, Danae, was a princess, and she was the daughter of King Acrisius. And Acrisius longed for a son. He visited the oracle to find out when he would have this son. And he was told, however, that not only would he not have a son, but that his daughter would have a son that would slay him. So to prevent this fate, Acrisius confined his daughter to a brass vault in the earth. And this vault was open only to the stars overhead. It's here that Zeus espied her, and transforming himself into a shower of golden stars, he rained down upon her, impregnating her. One of the most popular renderings of this myth comes from Sophocles, his play Antigone. And this particular scene of this rain of golden stars has been the inspiration for a lot of really great art, including the Venetian master Titian's series of five paintings referred to as Danae and the Shower of Gold, which comes from the mid-1500s. So it's really a beautiful exercise to get out under the open sky, watch the setting sun, the first visible stars and planets, to watch their setting, and then await the meteor shower, all while imagining what it must have been like to believe that you came from a particular star and that your birth was heralded by that star in a particular season, and then how thrilling it would be to see a shower of shooting stars, because even the commoner would have sensed that a mighty birth was imminent.
Now, often there's more than one tale associated with an event like this. Is the Greek myth of Perseus the only tale associated with the shower?
No, there are other cultural tales that regard meteors as strengthening forces that are sent from the divine world into the physical, and it's like they work like iron in the blood. So it builds up this capacity to ward off low, or what we might refer to in 21st century culture as toxic forces. So the Perseids are like the onset of the hero's journey, and the hero has to face the giant Orion. And their tale unfolds with the Orionids in October, and the next chapter has to do with subduing the animal nature, which comes with the Leonid meteor shower in November. And this is followed by the human capacity for discernment, this test for that which comes with the Geminids. And then in Gemini, it's because we have this, in Gemini, we have the twins, so one mortal and one immortal. So with this shower in mid-December, the hero is faced with a choice. And if he proves successful in his choice, then he achieves the still point of winter solstice, and the Ursid meteor shower that occurs at that time is to his glory.
Well, every Friday, we look into the night sky with Mary Stuart Adams, Program Director of the Headlands International Dark Sky Park in Mackinac City. And thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Brad.